is one of the most intriguing parshios of the entire Sefer Shemot. And what I would like to do this evening is to take, initially, one item and indicate through the medium of the Mefarshim the diversity of opinion and theme which are echoed in this particular psukim. The parsha, as you know, begins with the laws of the Mishkan. And then, in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Beis, we are introducing Shabbos. The first Mishkan, and then followed by Shabbos. Place to mention that in Parshas Vayakel, it is exactly the reverse. We have Parshas Shabbos, and then Parshas HaMishkan, and the reason for that we will leave over until next Monday evening, Mitzvah. What I would like to draw your attention to is Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'ato and you, Daber el Bnei Yisroel lemor, speak to Bnei Yisroel saying, Ach es Shabbosai tishmoru, keep my Shabbosos, ki osi beini uveinechem ledoroseichem, because it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, Lodas to know, Ki ani Hashem mikadishchem, that I am HaKadosh Baruch Hu who sanctifies you. That's the pasuk. The Va'ato, I'm not going to go into at the moment. What I'm interested to draw your attention to is the words, Ach es Shabbosai tishmoru. And to note Rashi's comment on those words. Says Rashi, Afalti, even though Shetihiyu Redufim Bizarizus Hamalocha, even though you are going to be zealous in the work of building the Mishkan, which has been mentioned already in the previous section, Shabbos Alti Dochemi Poneho, you are not allowed to work on the Mishkan on Shabbos. And how do I know that, says Rashi? Kol achin verachin miutin, lemaye shabbos mimeleches hamishkon. Whenever the word ach is used, says Rashi, it is always a restrictive, an indication that something has to be taken away. And therefore, in this particular context, by introducing the laws of Shabbos with the word Ach, Ach es Shabbosai tishmoru, it comes to tell you that whereas you might have thought that the work on the Mishkan is so important that it can even override Shabbos, therefore the word Ach comes to tell you that the Meleches HaMishkan has to be restricted. And there are occasions when Meleches HaMishkan cannot take place. And when is that? On Shabbos. So again I repeat, according to Rashi's interpretation of the word Ach, and nobody denies that Ach is always a restrictive, it comes not to restrict and limit the observance of Shabbos, but it comes to restrict and limit the occasions when you are allowed to be involved in the making of the Mishkan. Now we have a look at the Ramban. Says the Ramban, on the words, Ach es Shabbosai tishmoru, Af al pi shetihiyu redufin bizarizus hamalocha, al tidoche Shabbos miponeho, kol achin verachin miyutin, lemaye Shabbos mimeleches hamishkon, loshen Rashi. He brings Rashi, and for Rashi the Ach, again I emphasize, even though the word Ach appears in the context of a pasuk, which speaks about Shabbos, according to Rashi, the Ach is there not to limit and restrict the observance of Shabbos, but is there to restrict and limit the Meleches HaMishkan, which was mentioned in the previous section. Says the Ramban, the loan is covenantly. I am sorry, that interpretation does not appeal to me. Kilefi midrash rabosenu biyachin verachin, because you are perfectly right that the word Ach and Rat are restrictive, But since they appear in the pasuk which speaks about Shabbos, Ach is not there to limit the Mishkan. Ach is there to indicate to you that there are limits on the observance of Shabbos. Yemayet b'shemiras ha-Shabbos. How do I know? He says, Ki hamiyutim etzlom v'chol mokom yim'atu v'dovor hametzuvah though. Because in reality, whenever you find Chazal making the comment that Ach and Rak are restrictives, you will always discover that the restrictives apply to the parsha in which the word Ach or Rak appear. Ach and Rak don't appear in the Mishkan. Ach and Rak appear, or hear the word Ach, appears in Shmirah Shabbat. So if there is to be a restrictive, it has to be a restrictive, says the Ramban, in the parsha in which the word Ach is found, namely in Shmirah Shabbat. Furthermore, the imtidrosh hamiyut ve'inyan melechas hamishkan hiye muter la'asosa b'shabbat. Ah, it's too strong, says the Ramban. And even if you want to say that the word Ach comes to tell you that there is a restriction in regards to the building of the Mishkan, follow carefully. Then, says the Ramban, since the word Ach is written in regards to Shabbos, had the word Ach had halachic connotations for the Mishkan, the logical consequence would have been not that we restrict the Melechas HaMishkan on Shabbos, but we restrict Melechas Shabbos, the Yisurim, to allow Melechas HaMishkan to take place. Because the word Ach is always a restrictive in the parsha in which it appears. And Ach in our pasuk has to be a restrictive in Shabbos. There are certain limitations placed on Shabbos observance. And if Rashi wants to suggest that there is some relationship between Ach and Melechas HaMishkan, then says the Ramban, if Ach is found in Parshas Shabbos, Rashi should have concluded that the Ach comes to tell you that there are occasions when you do not keep the laws of Shabbos. When is that? When the Melechas HaMishkan has to be performed. So Rashi's got it wrong. However, says the Ramban, I agree that the Ach places a limitation on Shmiras Shabbos, and I would like to show you how that is seen. Avol hamiyut hazeh lemilo o lepikuach nefesh uchayotzevahen shehein dochin es hashabbos. Do you want to know what the word Ach means? What is its halachic relevance in our parsha, in this pasuk? Says the Ramban, I'll tell you. The word Ach comes to tell you that there are occasions when you are not obligated to observe the laws of Shabbos. A milah on the eighth day, or the saving of a life. So the word Ach comes to tell you that there are restrictions in Shabbos observance. That's what the word Ach comes to tell you. And in reality, you'll see the same thing in Maseches Yoma. From where do you know that even a doubtful threat to life is allowed to override the laws of Shabbos? Rabbi Yavo says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Ach, es Shabbosai Tishvah. Says the Ramban, so what do you see? You see that the word Ach is used by Chazal to limit the observance of Shabbos. Everybody knows that you're not allowed to work on the Mishkan on Shabbos, but that we don't learn from Ach, says the Ramban. That is what we learn from the fact that even having mentioned all the Melechas HaMishkan to you in the earlier part of Kisisa, the Torah goes on and says to you, keep Shabbos. Implying that as important as the Melechas HaMishkan is, you still cannot override Shabbos. So now we have a classic problem. Rashi, first of all, the fact that Rashi goes against Chazal is not a problem. Because Rashi is giving us the Pshat. And the Pshat doesn't have to agree with the Halacha. Rani loy vasi ele lepshuta shel mikra. The fact that Chazal darshaned that tikuach nevesh is zeicha Shabbos from the word Ach, that's a drosha's chazal. So therefore there's no reason to take Rashi to task over it. The main point that the Ramban is making, however, is a point in Pshat. And that is that although everybody recognizes that Achin and Rakin are miyutin, they are restrictives and limiting factors, but they always restrict and limit in regard to the topic of the posuk in which they are found. And the topic of the posuk in which this Ach is found is Shmiras Shabbos. So therefore, why didn't Rashi agree with the Ramban and make the Pshat coincide with the Halacha in the Gemara Yomo, namely, that the restriction is on Shavos? But Rashi didn't do that. Rashi says the restriction is on Melechas HaMishkon to tell you that it doesn't override Shavos. So now, how did Rashi learn? And how do we answer the Kasha of the Ramban? In order to answer that question, we have a look at the Maskilid of it. To the bottom left-hand side. These are Devarim Nitloim. And it's so beautiful to see how the Meforashim, this lateral thinking of the Meforashim, says the masculine David Pardo, Horamban Zal Heishir, the Ramban has a complaint against Rashi's chat, because if you want to darshan the Ach as a miyut, as a restrictive, in Cain Nidrosh HaMiyut B'Shmiras Shabbos, then the Ach should have been related to a restriction in the keeping of Shabbos, and therefore, if you wanted to say that Ach is in reference to the Melechas HaMishkon, not that Melechas HaMishkon doesn't override Shabbos, but on the contrary, there is a restriction in the observance of Shabbos to the extent that one of the items that can be performed on Shabbos, even though it would appear to be desecrating Shabbos, is the Melechas HaMishkon. So that's the Ramban's taina. The Horab Elyom is Mizrachi Zal Heshiv Vozeh Biyarucho, and the Mizrachi has a long answer to defend Rashi. Says the masculine David, you want to listen to me? I'll tell you. Ulianiyas Daitimir. I would like to suggest that what motivated Rashi to make the comment which he did was the following. Dehoko al korchenu tzirichim lidrosh hamiyut v'meleches hamishkon. I would like to suggest that here Rashi had no alternative but to suggest that even though the word ach appears in a posuk which is associated with Shemira Shabbos, nevertheless the ach can only be correctly interpreted as a restriction referring to the earlier parsha, namely a restriction in the Leches HaMishkon. Why? Because the Lokacha Hani Maideh Chesiv Ach Es Shabso Saitish Moru, says the Maskil Adovid like this. Let me just put it in my words and then we'll see it inside. You see the majesty of this man. Everybody agrees? Ach is a miyut. And Rashi is the first person to agree with the Ramban that Ach is a restrictive, and Ach is a restrictive in the context of the posuk in which it appears. But by the same token that Ach is a restrictive, is it not also a general principle of interpretation that the word S is an expansive? It comes to include even more. Kaved S avicha v'yesimecha come to include other members of the family. So if Ach is a restrictive, S is an expansive. And if both of them are referring to Shabbos, put neither of them in, because they cancel each other out. The only way in which it can make sense to have Ach and Es in the same pasuk is to suggest that Es refers to Shemiras Shabbos, and Ach is a restrictive which belongs to the earlier pasuk. And that's genius. Let's go back over it again. He says like this, here, says the Maskil Rabbah, Rashi had no alternative but to say that the Ach is to be considered as if it was written in the parsha of Meleches HaMishkon. Why? Because only in that way can Rashi make sense out of the whole pasuk. Why? Because we heich the kaim along, because in the same way as we have a tradition that the Achin and Rakin, they are miyutim, they are restrictives, in the same way we have the tradition that the word S or the word Gam is libuyin, are inclusive, more embracing. And therefore, if the pasuk is saying, Ach Loshen Miyut is miyuta himalekas ami iskar. You are forced to conclude that the ach must be considered as if it was written regarding the Malachas HaMishkan. Because if it was to be considered as if it was written in regards to Shvila Shabbos, the ach and es would have cancelled themselves out. So what are we being told? On the contrary, says Rashi, the only way it can make sense is that the word ach is to be considered as if it was written as a restrictive in Malachas HaMishkan. Why could that be? Or why must that be? Kihine hakosef hosif ribui b'shvila shabbos lehagdil ma'alosef. Because the word Eschab Sosaitish Moru comes to tell you that you've got to be terribly sensitive to Shmirah Shabbos. So how can you follow an Ach which is telling you to be in certain areas insensitive to Shabbos? How can you follow that by Es which is encouraging you to be hypersensitive to Shabbos? Those two words are contradicting each other. Elamai, the only way we can make sense of it is to say that the word Ach is telling you that there's a restrictive in Melechas HaMishkan. Why? Because Eschab Sosaitish Moru, as important as Melechas HaMishkan is, there has to be a hypersensitivity in regards to Shmirah Shabbos. And that is the only way these two particular words can be reconciled. Something well worth looking into again. This is a very special masculine dot. In the same way as the Ramban is directing our attention exclusively at the word Ach, Maskele David says, Rashi got eyes not only for Ach, but also for Es. And therefore, if Ach and Es were written all both to be understood and construed in the context of Melechah Shabbos, then there would be no need to write either, because they would have cancelled each other out. The only way it makes sense is to say, Es Shabbos Sosaitish Moru, be hypersensitive about Shmirah Shabbos, and what is the halachic consequence of that? Ach. That even though the Melechah HaMishkan is important, there is a restrictive in Melechah HaMishkan that it cannot override Shabbos. Okay. What I would like to do now, before we move on to the two items on the same daf, what I want to do now is to present to you one of the most glorious insights in this particular parsha. And that is taken from the Chasam Sofer. To my mind, it is one of the most beautiful items. He puts here in the Torah Moshe, you have it beside the masculine David, he brings us the post. Ach es Shabbos Sosaitish Moru. And the fact that you keep my Shabbos is Oti Veniu Venechem, Ledoro Sechem, Lodav Ki Ani Hashem Mekadishechem. Says the Chasam Sofer, I would like now to present to you a theme which is being suggested to us through this pasuk. Follow, please. Haramban Pireish. Let's follow the Ramban. And the Chasam Sofer, as we know, is the spiritual heir of the Ramban. The Ramban explains that the word Ach comes lima'et pikuach nevishu milo shadochin shabbos. The word Ach comes to tell you that there are times when Shabbos has to be restricted and overridden. And that is when there is danger to Jewish life. And also, umisnichus hapasha limeidin shemelechus amishkon eina dochin shabbos. And how do we know that Melechas HaMishkan is not allowed to override Shabbos, asks the Ramban? He says, that we know from the fact that Melechas HaMishkan is followed by the laws of Shabbos. Now that we know that the word Ach comes to tell you that as great as Shabbos is, it must be profaned to save a Jewish life. And as great as the Melechas HaMishkan is, it can be overridden by Shabbos. What does that tell you about a Jewish life? That's the Chasam Sofer. Says the Chasam Sofer. Im Kain, if we learn all these dinim from this pasuk, from the fact that Melechas HaMishkan precedes Shabbos, we know that Melechas HaMishkan cannot override Shabbos. From the fact that we are introducing the word Ach, says the Ramban, we are being told that Shabbos cannot override danger to a Jewish life. Im Kain, says the Chasam Sofer. Shema mino. Let us now consider what the logic is of this pasuk. Shema mino mi Melechas HaMishkan. We know regarding the Melechas HaMishkan, shehi inyan gadol miyod, that it is one of the most sacred items that we have. V'yaf al pichein, and nevertheless, nidchem mipnei Shabbos. It can be set aside because you cannot desecrate the sanctity of Shabbos in order to make a Mishkan. So can you imagine how great is the Kedusha of Shabbos? Uvachol zos, and with all that, Shabbos Nibcha Mipnei Pikuach Nevesh? Shabbos itself, which cannot be desecrated for the building of a Mishkan, can be desecrated to save a Jewish life? Is Muchach, how much is it now obvious? Ki Gedola Kedushach Yisrael, the great sanctity which it adheres to every single Jew, the Yoser Kodosh V'choshuv V'yenei Hashem Nefesh Yisrael Mishabbos, and the Kedusha of an individual Jew is greater than the Kedusha of Shabbos. Horaya, Shabbos can be desecrated to save a Jewish life. The culture came, and therefore how much more so is the sanctity of a Jewish life more precious? Mi binyan beit hamigdash, than the building of a temple. Bezer kamo azo ahavat HaKadosh Baruch Hu liYisrael. And therefore, the Pasuk comes to tell us how great and how powerful is the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for every Jew. And this we see from the fact that Somich Shemilas Shabbos HaMelechas HaMishkan. From the fact that Shabbos follows on Melechas HaMishkan, from that we know Shabbos Docho saw that Shabbos can push aside Melechas HaMishkan. Avol Ach, but the Ach in the Pasuk is a miyut, is a restrictive on Shemilas Shabbos, from which we learn Shepikuach Nevesh Docho Shabbos. And what does all this teach us? All that we have learned up to now in the Pasuk? Lodat, it teaches you, Ki Ani Hashem Mekadishachem, that I am HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who sanctifies you, meaning Sheikar Kedusha Si, He Bochem, that the most holy thing that God has in this world is not a temple and is not a Shabbos, but a Jew. That's got to be something very, very good, glorious. Loda, all that you have been taught through the Ramban on this Pasuk is to teach you, Ki Ani Hashem Mekadishchem, that the most holy item that God has in this world is not temple, is not Shabbos, but is Jew. Something very, very. So now that we have had a look at that particular section of the Pasuk, we now move on to another phenomenon in this Pasuk. And it is the fact that the plural form is used. Shabbosai, my Shabbosos. Now usually we find Shabbos in the singular. B'shamun uvnei Yisrael, et ha-Shabbos, la'asos, et ha-Shabbos. So we never find Shabbos in the plural. And here we find, Ach es Shabbos Osai Tishmoru, that Shabbos is written in a plural form. Let me direct your attention firstly to Rebbelvel Brisker, also on this side. We have a lot to say about this passage. Again, the question is, why is there a use of the plural form? Yes, the Farish. I would like to explain it as follows, says Rebbelvel. Dehine b'Shabbos ikor shnei devorim. In Shabbos there are two themes. We have two different reasons advanced as to why God gave us the Shabbos. On the one hand, it is zecher letzias Mitzrayim, and that's mentioned in the Aseret HaDibros in verse Chanan. And yetzias Mitzrayim is the yesod. It is the basis lebechiras ukedushas Yisroel. It is the basis of the chosenness of the Jewish people and of their sanctity. Kidechesiv, as is written, Asher Otsesi Eschem Meyeret Mishayim Liyos Lochem Lelokim, and it writes further, Hamaaleh Eschem Meyeret Mishayim Liyos Lochem. In other words, the Exodus from Egypt is the event which commemorates our chosenness and how we have been sanctified by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hiyisem Kedoshim, Ki Kadosh Oni, V'yod V'kamo Mekomos. Now, and therefore, one of the themes is Yetziat Mitzrayim, which is the basis of our sanctity as a people. That is the moment when we became God's people and we stepped out onto the arena of world history as an Am Kodosh, says Rebbelvel, and that is what the Pasuk is saying, Ki Os Hi Feini Uveinechem Lodat Ki Ani Hashem Mikadishchem, so that you may know that I am God who has made you holy. So therefore Rebbelvel is suggesting that the first theme, Lodat Ki Ani Hashem Mikadishchem, is in fact the theme of Shabbos, which coordinates with Secher Litziat Mitzrayim, which is the yesod of our Kedusha. Then there is a second theme in Shabbos. Hesheinis Hizi Kolon Lamaseh Vareshis, a remembrance to the creation. The Zehu, and that's what's mentioned in the second Pasuk. When it says there, Ki Sheshes Yomim Oso Hashem Es HaShemayim V'Tuhoret, Uvayom Ashvi Shavas V'Yinotak, that is the second theme in Shabbos. Now, says the Velvet, Behine ho sorishon. The idea that the Shabbos which is mentioned in the first Pasuk, Achisham Sosai Tishmoru, Ki Osi Beini Uveinechem, etc., etc., namely, Ezechel Isiyas Mitzrayim, Bozer Lav Dafke Shabbos Bereishis. Shabbos isn't the only item that commemorates Ezechel Isiyas Mitzrayim. Is Rakam Kolamoado Shavim Bozer. All the Yom Tovim are the same thing. Kibbis for Yom Tov, Ezechel Isiyas Mitzrayim. So therefore, in the context of Zeichel Etziach Mitzrayim, Ki Ani Hashem Mikadishechem, not only Shabbos commemorates that theme, but also Yom Tov. But in regard to the second theme, only Shabbos. Because Shabbos Bereishis is only Shabbos Bereishis. There's no Yom Tov Bereishis. The Hein Atzmonos, and you should know that every Yom Tov is also called a sign. Umishum Hochi Petzirei Chulahu Mitzfilin. And you know how I know that Yom Tov is also a sign? Because you're quarter from Tfilin not only on Shabbos, but also on Yom Tov. And Yom Tov is called an oath. Where is Yom Tov called an oath? Says Rashi, Achesham Sosai Tishmoru, Ki Os Hi Beini Uveinechem. So we see from the way Rashi, as he's going to mention in a moment in the Gemara, interprets the Pasuk, the Shabbos Sosai is written in the plural. Why? Because it's referring not only to Shabbos, but Yomim Tovim. That's why it has to say Achesham Sosai Tishmoru. The Heim Kulam Nichlolim Bahach Kra. And that is why they are all included in the Pasuk Ki Osi Beini Uveinechem, as Rashi says in Erev in Anim Menachos. So therefore, regarding the first sign, Ki Ani Hashem Mikadishichem, which says in Belvel is the same theme as Eichel Isiyas Mitzrayim, Shabbos shares that with Yomim Tovim. Therefore, in regards to the first sign, it says Shabbos Sosai, the plural form, which is a lot and an expression, HaKoleil Gam Yomim Tovim. Avol V'Ho'os Hasheni. But in regards to the second mention of Shabbos as an oath, which is a Zikoron L'Maseh Bereishis, there it says Es HaShabbos, the singular, because the Hu Rak B'Shabbos Bereishis Levah. So wonderful. So if you want to know why Shabbos is used in the plural in the first part of our Pasuk Achashav Sosai Tishmoru, it is because we are referring not only to Shabbos, but also to Yom Tov. Because Ki Ani Hashem Mikadishichem is the theme of Zeichel Etziach Mitzrayim, which applies not only to Shabbos, but also to Yom Tov. Whereas, when we speak later on, V'shomru V'nei Yisrael HaShabbos, there we are only speaking about the days of Shabbos that come on a weekly basis, because there we are speaking about Kisheshes Yomim, also Hashem is Hashemayim is Oretz, and that is a theme which is shared only by Shabbos. Now, the truth of the matter is that this is not totally satisfactory. You should excuse me saying that. Not totally satisfactory. Because if, in fact, it is Es Shabbos Sosai Tishmoru, and we are using the plural form, then how do you immediately go in to the singular, Ki Os Hi Beini Uveinechem? Because if it is Shabbos Sosai, and it's a legitimate plural, because it refers to Shabbatos and Yomim Tovim, two distinct types of days of rest, then you've got to be consistent, and you've got to say Ki Osos Heim, or words to that effect. So in order to understand or to offer an explanation which is going to give us an answer to that question as well as the plural form, we look to the Ksava Kabbalah. Here's, I have to tell you, in conversation some weeks ago with Diane Fisher, whom I always quote as a source of great information and great knowledge, he said to me as we sat together, he says, we're talking about the various people, various rabbis and Talmidei Chachamim and Gaonim, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he says to me, you know, Rabbi Bernstein, he says, nobody comes near the Ksava Kabbalah. Do you look in the sefer? And I have to tell you, he knows what he's talking about. Something very extraordinary about this gentleman. Not just that he stayed 30 years in the same Rabbonis, but a very... but nevertheless, okay. Fine, enough said. Right. So, the Ksava Kabbalah says, and follow him through, please. First of all, the man has a command of the Hebrew language, which is, for a man living at the end of the 18th, beginning 19th century, is something very inspiring. So he says like this, Bo Loshen Yochid Al Rabin. That's my problem. How can you say Ki Os Hi when you've just introduced Loshen Rabin as Shabbos Sosai Tishmoru? That's my problem. Says the Ramban, you know what the answer is.
כי תם שבתותיי בעבור כי שבתות השונו הם רבים. So the Ramban, it's not telling you as Shabbosai Tishmoru as a plural form, it's telling you keep every Shabbos, which over a period of a year adds up to many. And therefore, the OC is referring to each individual Shabbos, whereas Shabbosai is referring to the Shabbosos of the year. Says the Ktav Kabbalah like this. I would like to suggest, Ulefi Hamavuor, but if you will bear in mind what comments I made on the word Shabbos in Parshas Yisro on the Aseret HaDibros, you will see that we have an answer to our question. Ulefi Hamavuor v'shem Shabbos sheyesh pishanayim v'horawoso. Because if you will remember, says the Ktav Kabbalah, that I referred there to the word Shabbos and indicated that the word Shabbos has a Hebrew word, Loshon HaKodesh, has two connotations. Ho'echad, one connotation is Inyan Habitul Fahahepsek Mimalocha. One is stopping work, cessation of work. That's Shabbos, one connotation. Vahasheni, and the second connotation is Inyan Yishuv Hadaf Linyonim Elokim. You believe that? Says the Ktav Kabbalah, the word Shabbos means reflection on religious themes. It has to do with intellectual meditation. I says the Ktav Kabbalah there, you don't believe me. So I'll prove it to you. Chaposiginach. Acharei shuvi nichamti. After reflection, I changed my mind. You see, the word shuvi is the word Shabbos, shame. Means not merely to stop, but it means to reflect. It's a different connotation altogether. In pain. If that is so, then the word Shabbos in regards to our Shabbos is used advisedly because it contains both of those connotations. Im kein yesh b'chol Shabbos v'Shabbos k'tei shevisos. Therefore you have to know that on Shabbos there are two shevisos. Number one, shevisas haguf miyiske yolam. The fact that we have to rest. Shabbos is not an interlude. Shabbos is a climax of it. That's the word here. We stop working. And therefore we present ourselves with a golden opportunity to meditate on those items which need a cessation from work and our total absence of involvement in the material world. And if you want to know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants out of us on Shabbos, it's the second theme of Shabbos. The reflective. The fact that we are now meditating on religious matters. That is why, says the Ktav Kabbalah, the exhortation to keep Shabbos comes in the plural, to leave you with no doubt that there are two meanings to Shabbos, and for a complete observance of Shabbos, you have to have both. Yitzhak, what does the Torah want to say with this? Behold, Shabbos, the Shabbos, Tishmeru Shtei Shevisos. On every Shabbos, keep two Shabbos. It's not wonderful. On every Shabbos, keep two Shabbos. Shavisas hagufim balechet maisa. Stopping work, that's one connotation of Shabbos. Ushavisas hanevish bimalechet avodat Hashem. And the meditative aspect of Shabbos in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bilihiyo sestei shavisos elu zelo zeh. Kimestuvav minasim avolei yisparadu. Ah, you'd ask me if we are speaking about two different aspects of the word Shabbos, so how can we go into the singular? Answer is very simple, because one is only a precondition for the second. Without the first one, the Shvisa mi Melacha, you can't get around to meditation. You're busy with Melacha, you haven't got the opportunity to rid yourself of all the thoughts which disturb and distort and prevent meditation. So therefore, ki bi emes achas heina, because in reality they are but one. Hashavisa horishona, because the first connotation of Shabbos, which is the rest from work, is only a hachana, a preparation, lover el tachlis hashvisa ho amitis, to come to the proper Shabbos, which is meditative. Lokach omer akosav al steyem shehein achas bi emes. That's why the Torah, after having said a Shabbosai, can go on and say loshen yochad, a singular, ki os. Now, my friend, we come to the pièce de résistance of this Ktav Kabbalah. Says the Ktav Kabbalah, apart from the lomdus, Let there be no doubt in your mind that the word Shabbos has got two connotations. And one is a preparation for the other. And the Shabbos cloth is not the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Shabbos, to put it in its own colloquialism. It has to be taken as an opportunity. Now that we have dismissed all thoughts of worldly and material goods from our minds, it now gives us the opportunity for the contemplative and the meditative. And therefore I would like to suggest to you the following, says the Kabbalah. And to my mind, that's what Chazal meant when they said, Ilu Samru Yisrael Shtei Shabbosos Miyad Hayu Nigolim, which we always have mistakenly translated as, if Israel would only keep two Sabbaths, the Mashiach would come. Ksava Gabala says it's not talking about two consecutive Sabbaths. It's talking about the two dimensions. I gotta tell you, can weep with this. Ein kabonosom al seishevitos bismanim nifrogim. We're not speaking about two Sabbaths at different times. One March the 2nd, the other March the 9th. Or their Hebrew equivalent. Kiyim al shei shevisos eile ashe yislaktu v'lo yispardu b'yom echor. B'yachat eile v'yemes v'gufu v'na. That's priceless. Absolutely priceless. That's the vort here. We stop working. What I want to move on to now that we've had a look at Shabbos in this parsha, I want to move on to one of the most problematical events in the entire Sefer Shemot and in the entire Torah. The making of the golden calf. I have to tell you again in regard to the Egel Azov, I have to repeat something that Rabbi Soloveitchik once said, and well worth remembering. And that is, he was asked once, why is there a negative prohibition against worshipping idols, but there's no negative prohibition against being an atheist? So in his own inimitable Lithuanian style, he replied, because there is no such a thing as an atheist. Everybody has a god. It depends what their god is. For some people it's money. For some people it's covered. For some people it's power. Everybody got a god. There's no such a thing as an atheist. Everybody has their regular self. Depends what form it takes, but it's there all the time. We admit it to ourselves quietly when nobody's listening, but it's there all the time. We've got a problem here. Few weeks after the Bnei Yisrael, that came out of Mitzrayim with all the Nisim, but a few weeks after the Bnei Yisrael stood on our Sinai, 10 days to 2 weeks, what's going on here? From the highest mountain to the lowest pit, and here we appeal to one of our favorite commentators of Yankov Kamenetsky, Emmet B. Yankov. Let's have a look. Says Reb Yankov, Lichure Hareze Dover Matmiya. When you look at the whole part of the Egel Azov, you see that it is a most puzzling event. Shezelo Mikvar Omdu Viomru Kulam Yachad Tola Shidi Ber Hashem Naaseh V'Nishma. A few days ago, these are the same people who stood at the foot of Mount Sinai and said, whatever God has said, we will do and we will listen. They take a Omrim, and in a couple of days later, they are saying to Aaron, Kul Naaseh Lanu Elohim, make us a God. And of course, many commentators have explained, says the Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, I know that the Ramban tells us quite distinctly, and he proves it so beautifully from the Psukim, that they weren't looking for a new God. They were looking for a new intermediary, a new leader to take Moses' place. But, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, you should excuse me, even after you've said that, I will die in Tomua. How could people honestly think that Moses, who there has now disappeared, that you can replace the Moshe Rabbeinu with an Egel Azov, which was an Egyptian god? I have to tell you that when the Rav died in Bialystok, so Reb Mersim Chakrin, the Meshech Chochmah, was in Bialystok at that time, and people assumed that he would be appointed the Rav. I think he was the only Gemter with him, of Reb Reuven Dannenberg type. But he didn't appoint the Meshech Chochmah. So the Meshech Chochmah says, now I understand the Pshat in the Pasuk, he says. Because when Moshe Rabbeinu was presumed to have died, I mean, they took her out from somewhere else, from Oshkosh, whatever. So, Meshachot, now I understand, he says, when Moshe Rabbeinu is presumed to have died, the natural successor is Aharon. So what did they make an egelet of? He says, because Yidden many times prefer to have a calf from the friend, from outside, than a rabbi from inside. This was his comment at the time. Should have been Aharon. He was a Kohen, of course. He says, many times Yidden prefer to bring a cow in from outside, from Mitzrayim, rather than make use of the Kohen who's already here. It's a very, very sharp thought. But let's go back now to our deliberations. Okay. So now Rabbi Yaakov is trying to work out what is the psychology of these people. And follow here and you'll see something very dramatic. Avol b'yemes nira. The truth of the matter is, the ein onu yodim l'steich machsavam. We would find it impossible to put ourselves in the position of the Bnei Yisrael at that moment in time. Follow. Hagabi yatmach. Imagine for a moment, says Rabbi Yaakov, Am Gadol, there's a colossal nation, then Shishim Ribui, Anoshim, 600,000 men from the age of 20 to 60, the Yod Harbe Ravuos and more tens of thousands of Noshim that came in Batah, of women and old men and children, Machaneh Shel Shalosha Million Bnei Yodam, a camp of 3 million souls, that's it. The chulam omdim below shum mishon lechem umayim bamidvar, and all of a sudden they would find themselves without any bread and without any water in a wilderness, vitzim own asher ein bo mayim, and be thirsty for which there is no water. Hello, Omru Chazal. Is it not worth remembering what Chazal said in Gemara Eilevin? Dikduke anius mavirines the water maldato vialdat kono. So when a person becomes so filled with poverty, it makes him totally panicked. And he rebels against everything he holds dear. That's the nature of the animal. If that is what poverty does to an individual, is the culture came b'tanoim elu? How much more so under the conditions in which the Bnei Yisrael found themselves at that moment? Halo matzav oyom hinu. Is it not a matzav, a situation of the greatest gravity? Why is it so perplexing in our eyes that they were not able to withstand that period of trial? When we're speaking about a people who knew full well they are the people who know that if there is food at the door of their tents every morning, it's in the zechus of Moshe Rabbeinu. U'kishehera lohem hasotn mitoto shel Moshe, mi yodeya im yihye hamon lemocha. Ah, there's no store in their tents, my friends. The mon comes down every day, and even if you want to smuggle away a little bit into your packing cases, is the chamashemish venomos, it goes up. Moshe Rabbeinu is gone. The Stotten shows the Bnei Yisrael Moshe Rabbeinu's bier, B-I-E-R, that he's being carried dead to his grave. And there's nobody to take his place. Where's our food going to come from tomorrow? And the children are crying. And there is no bread, no food in their tents. And you're in the middle of a desert and there's no place to go to purchase food. Can you imagine the panic that took place in the camp of Israel? And each balabos, each father, what will he say to his children who say there's no food and they're crying? There's nowhere to get food. We used to have food in the Zechus of Moshe Rabbeinu, but that's all over. And you don't have the luxury of waiting a couple of days to find out if he's coming back really or not, because it's a priority for today, not for tomorrow. And I want you to know, says Rabbi Yankov, and therefore, Kisha Omar Lohem Khur Lahamtinat Lamochor Horgul. When Hur stood up and said, no, be patient. Wait, give Moshe Rabbeinu time to come down. There was panic. They killed the man. Because the whole situation was so fraught with danger and uncertainty. V'chein, kisho Omar Aharon, and therefore when Aharon, as a delaying tactic, said, Kidakun is me hazohol, take off all your golden ornaments, he thought it was going to take days to get Jews to part with the money. His father, take care of the Nosnu. Nobody hesitated for one moment because it wasn't a question of charity, of giving a donation. This was a question of staying alive. And if they don't have a Jewish Moshe Rabbeinu, then maybe the Egyptian version will work because we don't have any other to suggest. So therefore, Kichol Asher Le'ish, why did they give the money away immediately? Because whatever a man has, Yitain biyad nafsho, he'll give for his life. We make jokes about what it takes to make people part with money. Of the mice, if you're starving to death, and somebody says to you that there's a faint glimmer of a chance that you might be rescued, etc., etc., if you'll give this money, people don't negotiate. You negotiate for Narishkeit, and you don't negotiate for this. So Rabbi Yaakov, I think it's important just to bring him, because there are many Mephorshim will come in Yitzchakem to Yehuda, Levi, and other Mephorshim. But the fact of the matter is, Rabbi Yaakov is pointing to the one essential aspect of their situation, and that is panic. And when you panic, you don't act rationally. That's the bottom line. And this is something that he draws our attention to. It's very, very masterful. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is the source of their food, and when Moshe Rabbeinu is gone, and the Sultan shows him that he's being carried to his grave, they jump to the worst conclusions, and there is total chaos in the camp. And even a man like Hur, who stands up a respected figure, as soon as he opens his mouth and says, be patient, immediately he is killed, and that's the way it goes. However, there is still much to talk about. We haven't exhausted the themes of the Egel Azov, but nevertheless, the Rebbe Yaakov is very worth keeping in mind. Let me now offer for your consideration, as our last item of the evening, something which brings us again to a theme which we have expressed on a number of occasions. Let's take Perek Lamed Dalet. Perek Lamed Dalet. Pasuk. Chof Gimel and Chof Dalet. Shalosh Piyamim Bashana. On three occasions in the year. Yeroeh Kol Zechurecha. Should all your males appear. Espenei ha'adon Hashem Elokei Yisrael, before the Master, the Lord God of Israel. Ki yorisko yimi ponecha, says God, I will drive out nations from before you. Vihirchavti eskevulecha, and I will widen your borders. And you should know that I give you a promise. Velo yachmod ish es arsecho, and nobody will covet your land. Ba'alosecho, when you go up. Leiroos espenei Hashem Elokecha, to appear before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shalosh Piyamim Bashana. So here we have mention of the two things. Number one, you've got to go three times a year. And number two, I am giving you my promise that even though there are goyim who covet your land, and you might think that when you go up to Yerushalayim, all the males are going up to Yerushalayim, and the fields are being left exposed, that might be the opportunity for the nations of the world living in the area to come in and seize your territory. I give you a promise, below Yachmot Ish Esar Secha. Nobody will covet your land. Let's now go back, my friends, for a moment to Perek Chof Gimel in Shemos. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Perek Chof Gimel, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Shalosh piyamim bashana. Three times a year. Yeloeh kol zechurecho, shall all your males appear. El penei ha'odon Hashem. Before the Master Hashem. No mention whatsoever in Mishpatim that there is no need for you to be afraid when you go up to Yerushalayim that Goyim will invade. But there is mention made of it in Parshas Kisisa. And here we come to the genius of the Meshech Chochmah, just on the same page as the Yemesh Liyanki. Hine beparshas mishpatim kosuv. In parshas mishpatim it says also shalosh piyomim bashana, you got to appear in the Beis HaMikdash. But below siyem, but the prophet did not conclude below yachmodish et arshecha, that no one will covet your land. Why?
He says the answer is kamosha omru bepeira keitzed meyabrin.
There is a Gemara in Erevin Nudalet. And the Gemara there says, She'il mole nishtabru luchos rishono. Had the first set of luchos not been broken by Moshe Rabbeinu,
lo sholto bohem uma veloshem, no nation would ever have prevailed against them. So, my friends, Mishpatim contains a pasuk which was written before the breaking of the luchos. And before the breaking of the luchos, there was no need to tell the Bnei Yisrael that nobody will covet their land. Because had the first set of luchos not been broken, no nation would ever have prevailed against Israel under any circumstances. So the promise was irrelevant. The pasuk in our parsha, Kisisa, was written after the making of the Egel Azov and after the breaking of the luchos rishonos. Now that the luchos rishonos are broken, we will no longer have the assurance of our Kaddish Baruch Hu that no nation will ever prevail against us and drive us out or whatever it is. Therefore, our Kaddish Baruch Hu has to give us a promise that despite the fact that no longer will you be able to say that no nation has any authority or prevail against us, I'm giving you a special bracha in regards to when you go up for the Shalosh Regalim. So after the breaking of the Luchos Rishonos, they need that special promise. Before it, they didn't. And the pshat of a posuk always represents the status of Bnei Yisrael at that moment in time that the pasuk is describing. And that's the klal that we've brought from Rabbeinu Bechai and from various other people. The impain, if we say according to the Gemara, that had the luchos rishonos not been broken, no Uma Veloshin would ever have prevailed against us, if so, lo hayu tzarichim liyorei, ken yitach acher esartom. There was no need ever to be concerned at that stage in Parshas Mishpatim, which was being addressed to the Bnei Yisrael after the luchos rishonos had been given, but before they had been broken. There was no need to say to them, don't worry. Abol kan, but in Kisisa, here in Lamed Dalet, shenishtabru haluchos, that the luchos have been broken, v'yecholim ha'umas lenatchom, and therefore the nations of the world now have the ability lenatchom to be victorious over them, v'nishlot b'hem, and to rule over them, as happened in our history, lochein hutzrach Hashem yisporach lehavtiach. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to give them a special brach, she'al yedei mitzvah tzri'iyah b'regel lo yozoku, that by going up to the Beis HaMikdash on Pesach, Shavuos and Sukkos, they will not be harmed, v'lo yachmod ish esach. As a hope is a whole new world. And there are many, many other things that you will find between, we'll come upon to the Mitzvah Hashem later on, between Mishpatim and Kisisa, because Mishpatim is pre-Chetu Egel, Kisisa parts of it are post-Chetu Egel, and they will become outlined and seen in the Pesukim. Let me just conclude with a very pleasant thought. Since we spoke a little bit about Shabbat, so let me speak to you for a moment about the concluding section of Parshas Kisisa. The concluding section, not going into any psukim, the concluding section tells us that when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai after having been on Har Sinai for those many days, Kikorano Panov, his face was beaming. Right? Different face than he had had before. Vayakel begins with the laws of Shabbos. Says the Sephorna to Vayakel, will skip a little bit, we'll go into Vayakel for 2 seconds this evening. Says the Baal HaTurim on the word Vayakel, Kisiv Liel, it is written in the part which precedes here, Ki Korana Panov, that Moshe Rabbeinu's face was a more beaming one. The Somich Lei Parshas Shabbos. And immediately following Ki Korana Panov is the Parsha of Shabbos. What's the connection? Lomar, to teach you, She'eino dome kirun ponim shel Shabbos nishar ayomim. The face of an individual takes on a different aspect on Shabbos than it does during the week. And let me just remind you that this is not fanciful. That's why you don't need ponim chadoshos
For several brachas.
On Shabbos.
Because the Gemara says, Mizmor Shil Yom HaShabbos, Ponim Chadosh is Bo Lekan. It doesn't say you have to have a strange person at your table to say the full Sheva Brachas. All it says is that you have to have a Ponim Chadoshas. Moshe Rabbeinu came down with a Ponim Chadoshas. And the Ponim Chadoshas that he came down with is a Ponim Chadoshas that comes to every Jew, every Shabbos. And therefore, the practical resolution of this, the practical consequence, is that when people make Sheva Brachas, on Shabbos, you don't need a Ponim Chadoshas. Because Mizmor Shil Yom HaShabbos, Ponim Chadoshas Bo Lekan. We leave it over here. We resume our deliberations, Mr. Shem, on this coming Monday evening.
If you would like to purchase more tapes, please call English Torah Tapes 323-414-1641. There are over 100,000 Torah tapes available in Hebrew, English, and Yiddish. Also, if you'd like to get a free guide to over 1,000 foods with the proper blessings to make on it, please visit us on our website, EnglishTorahTapes.com, and you'll be able to get 29 pages printed of all the different foods with the proper blessings to make.